Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Why it matters on Money FM 89.3.
Time now for Why It Matters. And you know, we've spoken to a lot of experts and gotten their views in various sectors on the impact of COVID-19 on those sectors. Today, we're putting the spotlight on the general insurance sector. According to the General Insurance Association annual report that was released last March, Singapore's general insurance sector recorded mostly flat growth for 2020, with a 0.2% decrease in gross written premium to 4.09 billion Sing dollars. Now, the sector also recorded an underwriting profit of 237.3 million for 2020, compared to an underwriting loss of 28 million in the previous year. The report also highlighted that the impact of COVID-19 was felt greatly in the motor and travel segments. Both of them saw a decrease in claims, especially during the circuit breaker period due to, of course, lower volume of road and air travel. But looking at all these setbacks, right, despite all of it, the sector still remains very optimistic and determined to help steer Singapore towards post-pandemic recovery. But how has consumer needs for general insurance changed because of COVID-19? That's a curious question that we will ask Ronak Shah, who is Honorary Secretary of General Insurance Association of Singapore, GIA. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Elliot. Thank you for having me.
Lots of implications of the general insurance sector due to COVID-19. But I suppose broadly, in a broad observation, from your observation, that is, how has general insurance changed due to the pandemic?
Well, first and foremost, the pandemic certainly, as evident, you know, across a country and the world, has affected people individually and it's affected businesses quite drastically. But having said that, insurance always and has continued to play a mainstay for consumers, for individuals like us, as well as businesses. It continues to evolve and it definitely intends to play an even stronger part in the lives of individuals and the businesses. You know, innovation and digitization is quite critical in the midst of this pandemic. And really, the industry, as well as, of course, the consumers and businesses, have taken a pause to really work towards driving their businesses and their lives in the right direction. Insurance absolutely has played a big part in that process. Issues like cyber risks, issues like usage-based insurance, issues like pandemic cover or COVID-19 insurance. These are certain areas that have really evolved over the past 1.5 years. So importantly, I guess my message to everybody is that the industry continues to evolve and has to continue playing a very critical part as part of this pandemic.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, there was even confusion at the start of it as to whether or not there would be coverage if you were to get COVID. And then we had some explanation saying that, you know, at that time, that qualifies for a hospitalization or even a critical illness. But definitions keep changing. What are the challenges has the general insurance sector? I mean, perhaps you could give us some case study of how it's had to quickly evolve throughout this time.
Absolutely, Elliot. So, you know, as we can see with the pandemic, things are so fluid and, you know, things are changing literally by the day. So one of the critical aspects of all of the insurance companies that are represented here in Singapore certainly has been to keep up to date with all the various government agencies. There's a lot of collaboration that is ongoing. You know, we hear the needs and expectations of the consumers as an industry, and we have teams as part of all of our companies in terms of making sure that we're changing the terms and conditions, that we're evolving based on these expectations. Because bottom line is that insurance has to play a part when an incident and an issue arises. It has to step in. So that is one of the main fundamental objectives of the industry. So agility, I guess, is one of my major call-outs. The ability to be fluid, the ability to be innovative, the ability to go out there and cater to the changing needs of the consumers.
I'm sure you have heard a million times about how, well, I guess for some insurers, it can be very troublesome to make claims. But COVID-19 has really pushed things to become more, to become easier in terms of, and faster in terms of making claims. What have you observed?
Absolutely, Elliot. And, you know, as the saying goes, we expected digitization to really take stock probably in 2024, but the pandemic has really sped that up by a couple of years, pretty much not just for the insurance industry, but for everybody as a whole. So, you know, a number of the carriers, in fact, most of the insurance markets have really expedited their process of digitizing, the process of filing claims, the process of what you call straight throughput, refunds or payouts. And so the whole process has become a lot easier. I mean, everything is available online these days, whether it's the process of filing a claim, whether it's getting a response, whether it's chatbots. So, you know, all of this is really geared towards making it a seamless process for the consumers. It's only going to get better, and the industry is key in making sure that this is going to be available pretty much immediately.
I want to talk about how GIA recently conducted a consumer survey in partnership with YouGov. Could you tell me more about this survey?
Sure. So this survey was conducted amongst representative of about 1,000 respondents here in Singapore. It was conducted in October in 2020. Mm-hmm. And it really revealed a number of new areas for the general insurance companies to address. First and foremost, usage-based insurance, which is basically, for example, if you're going to take a bike ride for 30 minutes, can I get insurance cover that can cover me for that bike ride rather than getting an annual insurance policy? Okay. You know, areas like that have become the expectations of the consumers. COVID-19 insurance, for example, hospitalization cover that has evolved as a result of getting COVID. Areas like that have been really brought up as part of that survey. And certainly, what is the insurance industry doing amidst all of this digitization that's going on? So the survey has brought out a number of areas for us to really take stock and change the way that we as an industry are putting our solution and, you know, for the consumers.
How was the survey conducted? I mean, what kind of age group are we speaking to here?
Oh, it was across the board. I mean, you know, you have the millennials, you have folks in their 30s and their 40s. You know, everyone that has been impacted by the pandemic, I mean, it really has cut across the entire gamut of generations. But majority of the responses that have come back have been from the millennials where, you know, a number of them are certainly tech savvy.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They're changing their expectations and their needs on what insurance really means to them.
Yeah.
And so that's why one of the major call-outs was the usage-based insurance that came out of this. And this is really an area that the industry is making great strides to gear towards, and definitely online, whether it's through apps, whether it's through your, obviously through the internet, we're going to be able to put in a position where regardless of what you want to do in your lives, you know, and everybody is very bespoke and fluid, especially when we're all working from home.
Yeah.
We want to be in a position where you can buy that insurance policy, you can pay for it in multiple different ways, and you can have it seamlessly for that particular event that you wish to do in your life.
This usage-based insurance seems to be an evolution from pre-pandemic, and it was just like literally a year or two before the pandemic hit us. A lot of the younger crowd, the millennials and even younger than millennials, were looking at a very a la carte style, very bespoke style of insurance. Do you see this evolving even further?
I do, certainly. And this absolutely has been, you know, it's actively supported by the government agencies and by our regulators. So, for example, if you're going to be driving from point A to point B, you know, we're going down the path of, you know, whether it's going to be a road tax, whether it's going to be the ERP gantries and how you're charged, and certainly where insurance plays a part in that process. This is just an example, mm-hmm. but it's, you know, if it's going to be a 20-minute drive from home to the office, then that's what I'm going to pay for. You know, so that's just a classic example of what usage-based insurance means. I spoke about the bike ride. I spoke about the motor ride. Mm. So, you know, it's really expected to really ring fence any particular area that you're going to focus on in your life and your daily activities.
But is that a result of the consumer wanting to save money or the consumer wanting to know what they're paying for? Because the consumer today is more educated. The consumer today doesn't get lost in, you know, conversation with their financial planner and they don't understand anything in the policy. The consumer today is more well-read in that sense. Is it a case of one or the other?
It's actually both, Elliot. It's actually both, right? I mean, we want to get what we pay for in terms of value. That's the first and foremost. And I'm putting myself in the shoes of a consumer.
Sure.
I don't want to buy an insurance policy where I'm only going to use it probably, you know, once or twice, or, you know, actually, ideally, I hope I don't have to use an insurance policy.
Yeah.
But it is important that it is a sleep easy mechanism where it's going to ring fence, you know, every aspect of my life. But it is a combination of one, paying for what, you know, getting what I pay for. And certainly in terms of being a lot more savvy, it's also about the flexibility and the way that we are conducting our lives these days and as part of the pandemic, where, you know, we're doing different things every day. We have our core lives, but we're doing different things around it. And so if insurance can play a part where it is covering, you know, different aspects of my life throughout the year and not having to buy a policy which is an ongoing 12-month policy, for example, just for 15 bike rides that I'm going to take through the year, then that's the direction that I wish to go. So consumers are definitely a lot more savvy, absolutely. And as a result, their expectations have changed, and so has the industry.
Okay, talking about expectations, I'm glad you bring that up. I'm on the line now with Ronak Shah, who is Honorary Secretary of the General Insurance Association of Singapore. With things digitalizing more, are we seeing the insurance sector more at risk of fraud? Have you seen cases? Anything you could share?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, fraud has been an ongoing issue within the industry for many, many years. And, you know, it has certainly become a lot more prevalent as a result of pandemic, as a result of the digitization that has gone on. But the industry and the GIA has been very proactive in making sure that we have various tiers and various mechanisms of reporting and ultimately, you know, culling the fraud that's there and dealing with it. So, for example, you know, what is very important here is technology, collaboration, and the support of the public, actually, if I really put it that way. So, for example, the GIA has got initiatives such as the GIA Insurance Fraud Tip-Off Reward Scheme, where, you know, individuals who report any sort of cases that they are seeing or observing can be paid up to $10,000 for reporting such an incident, and which then leads to the successful prosecution and conviction of offenders. So, you know, as an industry practitioner, I really wish to encourage members of the public to report any sort of suspected fraud activity, because it is extremely critical that we work together to try and really cull it. The GIA also has, you know, with the use of big data, it has a fraud management system. We call it the FMS. And in addition to that, we also have dedicated fraud committee members comprising of representatives of the member insurers, where collectively between that GIFT system, between the FMS, between the insurance community, we're in various ways in which we can deal with fraud that is reported. So that's a classic example of how the industry has been dealing with it. So, for example, you know, this system was implemented in 2017 and it's played a key role in helping the industry mitigate a number of the underwriting losses. So, for example, in the motor and the travel industry, there were about 18,700 alerts that were sent to the insurers for further investigation just in the motor side of things. And there were about 113 of them that were found to be suspicious. In the travel side of things, there were 2,100 of them that were reported and about 77 that were found to be fraudulent. So these statistics continue to play a very critical part in ultimately reducing that fraud. And, you know, we really hope that these various mechanisms that we've put in place as an industry will help to really cull that. So again, you know, Elliot, thank you for bringing it up, but it's a call out to the public, because without the collaboration of this, you know, this is an area that we will not be able to reduce. So all help is needed in this space.
And the brilliant thing about this, and we're talking about fraud, right, is there's such a thing called cyber insurance. Could you tell us a little bit more about it? How it's crucial if your company has been, you know, a victim of a cyber attack. It does help your recovery.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Elliot. And, you know, all the more as a result of the pandemic, when, you know, all of us literally overnight had to work from home and effectively rely on the internet and the systems. So, you know, the playground for threat actors and cyber criminals has not been better. You know, so if you really think about the landscape in which they're operating, and they're always one step ahead of us. So, you know, one of the major call outs here for everybody is, let's not think that we're ahead of them. Let's always remember that they are one step ahead of us. So what is important here is that, you know, even in the absence of insurance, it is important that we really practice the right cyber hygiene. So, for example, refreshing your passwords, for example, updating your software and your apps. These are all very critical areas that we should be doing anyway. Now, cyber insurance is not new. It's been around for a long time, but it's certainly evolved quite a lot over the past couple of years. What it does is that it provides for areas, for example, pre-loss. So right. cyber risk assessment services in identifying the vulnerabilities that you have in your system or, you know, practices that you're not doing, basically, which can lead to vulnerabilities in which these hackers and threat actors can really take advantage of. It also covers for things like post-loss. So, for example, if you do get an incident, and really one of the major points here to make is that it's really not about if, it's about when it happens to you. And when it happens to you, it is important that you have the mechanism that can ring fence this issue. So the costs attached to dealing with an incident can be quite prohibitive. And it is important that the insurance then steps in to cover for that situation. So, for example, if you get forensic services to step in okay. to really do a deep dive in your system, understand what has happened, and then to really kill it, that those costs can be covered by the insurance. So extremely important, Elliot.
Wow, I'm fascinated by this. And I got to admit to you, Ronak, cyber insurance is new to me. I'm going to ask all my startup friends, do you have cyber insurance? That'll create a conversation. I've been speaking with Ronak Shah, Honorary Secretary, General Insurance Association of Singapore. I really appreciate your time this morning. Thank you so much. Take care and stay safe, yeah?
Thank you, Elliot.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.